You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 1059-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by the Barley House. The road to the White House begins at the Barley House, home of America's best burger, and WKXL's Pints and Politics series, which is presented by New England College. We will be doing a Pints and Politics taping tonight, 8:15 p.m., with Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. He'll join us at 8:15. We'll do a little meet and greet after as well. Looking forward to that. As Senate Majority Leader Dan Feltes and New England College Professor Wayne Lesperance will join me on the panel for that this evening. But we are honored to be joined on the program right now by Wendy Fox Gray. She is Senior Strategic Policy Advisor for the AARP Public Policy Institute. And she joins us to discuss an important event which took place this morning, a breakfast which focused on a report that came out that ranked New Hampshire as 50th in long-term care, as in 50th out of 50 states. She joins us right now on the program. Wendy, how are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much for having me, Chris. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Appreciate you joining us for the program. So what does that mean in terms of long-term care system and, you know, why New Hampshire is deficient in it? So first define what long-term care is for folks and why New Hampshire is 50th in terms of the ranking.
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. So long-term care or long-term services and supports are things that really we take for granted, right? So we think about us this morning when we woke up. We took a shower, got out of bed, ate some breakfast, got dressed. All of those daily activities, if you can't perform those, then you'll need long-term services and supports or long-term care type services to help you with those everyday type activities. Now, to get to the point of the 50th ranking, I'm so glad you asked about that, and that really was the point of our legislative breakfast this morning, is to really discuss that in detail. What that is when you look at what your state Medicaid program is paying for these long-term services and supports that I just explained that go to both older people as well as adult with physical disabilities, New Hampshire ranks 50th in that they spend very, very little in comparison on home and community-based services versus the amount of money that they're spending on nursing homes. So, for example, your state is spending with its Medicaid dollars 86% of its dollars for nursing homes and only 14% that is going for these services that help people age really where they want to live in their own homes and communities. And when you compare that to all of the other states, you're 50th. The only other state that spends even less than you all is Kentucky. We count the District of Columbia as a state, so there's a total of actually 51 in our report. So you're 50th. There's only one state that spends less on these home and community-based services. So that's how you get the 50th ranking. Right.
So the 50th is based upon the percentage of Medicaid long-term care dollars as opposed to the quality of the care or things of that nature.
Correct.
So, but as you referenced, the funding, 86% is allocated towards nursing home care and only 14% is allocated towards in-home care. How does that rank as compared to other states? And what is, you know, a proportionality that would look better in your view, in the view of AARP?
Sure. So we would absolutely call that your current spending balance. With those state dollars, we would call that completely out of balance. Mm-hmm. What is fascinating, though, is so that is looking at the percentage of money that's going for our elders and for adults with these physical disabilities. If, though, in contrast, if you looked at what your state is spending with its Medicaid dollars for the population that has intellectual and developmental disabilities, you look completely different. 98.5% of your money, in contrast, goes to these home and community-based services, and very, very, almost nothing, very, very little goes to institutional care.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that is? Is it just a priority of the legislator? Is there a lack of care outside? I mean, there's institutions like Crotchet Mountain, which does a tremendous job with individuals who have autism and other developmental disabilities. But is the system, I don't want to say rigged, but is it set up so that the funding goes into the nursing home care because of whether it's lobbying interests or whatever? Why do you think there's the complete difference in terms of the proportionality?
So I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Definitely within the intellectual developmental disabilities community, very strong advocates. Very mm-hmm. strong grassroots advocates, parents really speaking up for their children. Mm-hmm. There was also a lawsuit long, long ago that mm-hmm. also played an impact in that. And so what we're really hoping is that we can kind of take those lessons learned and the funding mechanisms that were built in for that intellectual disabilities movement and hopefully take that and use that type of funding and shifting more of our dollars toward where, quite frankly, our population would rather live anyway. Mm-hmm. We've seen study after study after study that people really want to, for as long as they can, live in their own homes and communities. And so we're hoping to take those lessons learned from the IDD community, the intellectual developmentals community, and apply that in this other area.
That's a key point in regards to the advocacy.
Yes.
Because I think that the philosophy of government here in New Hampshire is traditionally one of local-based control, minimizing expenditures, and allowing for personal freedom. And the expenditure that currently, and the percentage of that expenditure in regards to long-term care is counter to that, in that the local-based aspect is more cost-efficient, and it allows for more personal freedom, and it is a environment that seems to be much more in line with New Hampshire's thinking on these types of issues.
Chris, you couldn't be more correct. You've said it so beautifully, and you're absolutely right. What we're advocating so strongly for is absolutely, it has to deal with not just these numbers and statistics that you and I have been discussing, but it gets back to dignity and quality of life, and you're right, the New Hampshire philosophy of independence. And so that, at the end of the day, is really what this is about. And so what we want to make sure is especially, and that was the point of this breakfast this morning, our legislative breakfast, mm-hmm. to say, hey, let's align the dollars with where people want to live. Let's align it with our philosophy. But the numbers, not only is that what people want, but the numbers make sense, too. So, for example, for every one person who's funded with Medicaid dollars living in a nursing home, you can fund three people at home with home and community-based services. Mm-hmm. So there's a cost argument as well as a dignity and quality of life argument here.
No, I agree. And, I think that we'd like to see that percentage increased and for individuals to have opportunities to stay at home. But it's very challenging for caregivers in doing such. Our family recently went through a difficult situation with my mother. And, it weighs on everyone in ways that are both psychological and physical, but also the aspect of having to work and who is going to be the individuals that provide that care and for allow the individual to stay at the home in the home setting. And whether it's changing laws to allow for individuals to have more access to family members during those difficult times and be compensated, not have to worry about the work situation, or to allow for there to be more Medicaid dollars put into to caregiving so that entities and organizations can provide that in-home care. All of these things need to be discussed.
And Chris, I'm so glad you brought that up, and I couldn't agree with you more. Because oftentimes when we're talking about the funding of these programs, we talk about, especially in long-term services and supports, we talk about things like nursing homes and assisted living and senior centers, but you're absolutely right. The biggest provider in our country of these services to help people live in their own homes and communities, it's actually the unpaid family caregivers
right.
that you just brought up. And you couldn't be more correct. Our policies, our funding, everything needs to be aligned to what's really, really happening in people's own homes and communities. And you're right. It is that unpaid care that's so important that's being provided by our loved ones.
That is Wendy Fox-Grage, who joined us here from AARP. She's Senior Strategic Policy Advisor with the AARP Public Policy Institute in Washington, was in New Hampshire today for breakfast focused on long-term care. Appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking again at some point down the road.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. It's New Hampshire Now, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by the Barley House.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.